The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're all going to have a good time, a good day, whatever it is, today. We're having still problems with the speaker situation and stuff like that inside of, I don't know where it is, we'll just keep working on it. We'll see if we can figure something out. And, boy, it is just not working no matter what I do, even from my end. That's a different microphone system, so we'll see. Anyway, there you go, and we'll see what happens. So we're going through the video mic, not through the headset mic, guys. We're working this. So we can't tell until we're live if it's going to work. So that's what we're doing right now, just trying to figure something out. Okay. Hey, look, if you want to give me a call, please just dial 877-207-2276. And if you want, you can email me. Just send an email to info@carm.org, and in the subject line put radio question or radio comment, and we can get to them. So not a big deal. All right. And I'm still fighting that head cold cough remnant. That's just what that is. All right. That's right. We hear me, but not the radio. We don't know why. What's going on? I don't know. I do not know. It's really a puzzler. It really is a puzzle. Why that's just not working that way. I don't know what's going on. Well, keep figuring. Something changed someplace, somehow, somewhere. All right, we have people coming in to Rumble, and if you want to watch the show, you can just go to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and you can check it out there. We also have it on Facebook and on YouTube. Facebook, Matt Slick Live, and YouTube, Matt Slick Live. You can check them out, and I'll get to that. All right, we have nobody waiting. 877-207-2276. And last night I was on online, and I was talking about the sovereignty of God. And I met, was it yesterday, the day before, and yesterday. Anyway, encountered a person. It was really interesting, in my view. It was interesting what happened in that this person who hates Reformed theology, hates the idea of God's predestination and election. There's a couple of guys who just hate it. And when you speak about it, they become very angry and condemning and mocking. And I kept asking this one guy, I said, would you please not talk to me with insults and condescension? I want to have a dialogue with you and answer your questions, but could you please stop insulting me? And I said, would you agree not to insult me? And he wouldn't answer the question. And I said, could you agree not to insult me? Please, don't insult. And he says, you're not going to answer my question, are you? And it was really interesting, the childishness with which these gentlemen portrayed themselves, and not being able to be clear, and not being able to hear, and not being able to be patient. And they couldn't do it. It was really interesting. It was really interesting that they wouldn't do that. Two guys, and I said, look, I'm not going to have a conversation with you if you can't just be polite. I quoted scripture about let your speech be seasoned with salt, gracious. And I said, why are you guys not doing that? And you can't do it. And so I didn't have conversations with them because they would not agree to forego insults and condescension. In fact, one guy, I remember they're rabid, humbled clay, absolutely, it's rabid. I remember one guy just was so angry with the idea of God predestining people. It was sad to see. And you can't ask any questions. They only want to ask questions, and they demand you answer. Why is it people hate the sovereignty of God? Maybe because they want their own sovereignty. So anyway, then I met a guy online in the same room and area, and he disagreed with what I was teaching. But he was extremely polite, and we had this hour and a half long, or hour maybe, conversation. I thought it was very productive, went through a lot of stuff. He's very polite, and I thanked him. I said, you know what, I know we disagree, but I really thank you for your kindness and your patience, and I value it. Thank you very much. And he says, oh, no problem. And it was really nice. So people can do it. People can do it. All right. Well, no big deal. It's just a little bit of filler. I'll wait for people to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And we don't have anybody waiting, so I might get to some emails. So, interesting. Just kind of go through stuff and read. Believed in the deity of Christ, but then decided he was created by God to be the Messiah. Thank you for your amazing ministry. There's a 70-year-old woman in my Christian Bible study. She was saved as a teenager and believed in the Trinity at that time. She believed Jesus was both God and man when she first got saved. At the age of 30, she supposedly discovered through her own Bible study that God the Father created Jesus. Jesus was a created man. Well, he was a created man. I mean, people don't get that. You know, yeah, Jesus as a man was created. The divine nature within him was not created. In fact, I say to people, I say, Jesus didn't come into existence until 2,000 years ago. And they go, what? That's heresy. I say, no, it's not. Listen. And I explain to them. I say, Jesus is by definition one person with two natures. The one person with two natures did not come into existence until 2,000 years ago. But the Word was eternal, the second person of the Trinity. And they go, okay, I see what you're saying. So just, you know, a little bit of, it's not nitpicky, it's not hair-splitting, but it's fine-tuning theology and arguments that proceed out of that theology. Anyway, it says, Jesus was a created man meant to be holy and sinless Messiah of the world. Jesus is a Son of God, but not God the Son. So people say to me, who is the Son of God? And I'll say, does the term Son of God mean he's not God? And they say, yeah, it means he's not God. And I said, then what does the term Son of Man mean? And then there's this pause. Well, the term Son of God means he's not God. This term Son of Man must mean he's not man. But he was man. So Son of Man means he's man. Son of God means what? And you go to John 5:18, where it says Jesus was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Anyway, he says Jesus is a man and not eternal. Well, in the human aspect of Jesus, that was not eternal, but the divine is. And we call this the hypostatic union. In the one person of Christ are two distinct natures. Anyway, she is a very good woman who behaves as a Christian in every way. But too bad she's not a Christian. This person goes on, is it possible that she is saved even though she denies the deity of Christ? No, it's not. If she knowingly denies that he's God in flesh, then she'll be lost. Jesus says in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So you've got to believe he is the I am. And in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. So there you go. All right, it goes on, I have showed her all the verses pointing to the deity of Jesus, but she has an answer for every one of them. Oh, really? I've got one then. I'd like to run some stuff by her. Anyway, I hope I'm making myself clear. Yes, you are. I just can't believe she isn't saved when she is so Christian in her behavior. She truly thinks she's a saved Christian. She's not a saved Christian. Okay? She denies the Trinity. She denies that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. So Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. So she does not have God as her Savior. She has a created thing. And so whether we want to say she behaves like a Christian or not is irrelevant. Just like many people in false religious systems, they can behave very Christian-like. Doesn't mean they're Christians. It just doesn't mean it. This is why theology is so important. And I'd like to say that we don't want to make theology out of experience. You know, she seems to be saved, so I can't believe she's not. That kind of a thing. We've got to be careful of that. We need to stick with what the Word actually says. All right, let's get to Christopher from North Carolina. Christopher, welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey. I have a question. I heard a video. First off, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard a video, and I've heard this before, but I was like, man, I really don't know how to answer this. So it's about salvation without hearing the gospel. Not that, oh, this person that in this tribe was so good, because there's none that are good. I get that. But as far as salvation goes, and if these people have never heard the gospel, how do then they receive salvation?
Well, let's think. What about babies who die in the womb or died during birth? If we say that they have to believe and hear the gospel and believe it in order to be saved, then we would have to conclude that all babies in that condition who die would go to hell. But we can't right. say that. And so we could say, quote Psalm 22:9, you did make me believe while at my mother's breast. So God grants that we have faith, Philippians 1:29. So the question then becomes, can he grant faith to someone who hasn't heard the explicit gospel, like a baby, an infant, a child? I would say yes. Now, I wouldn't say it's normative, and I don't want to be so strict as to say, without hearing the gospel and confessing Christ, you can't be saved, because then all babies die and go to hell. And that's what I have a problem with.
Right.
Furthermore, what about those who are severely mentally challenged? Maybe they can't comprehend the gospel. So would we say they likewise go to hell? So I'm not going to say those are the case, that they would. So that's why I say, do you have to hear the gospel? Yes and no. Yes, normally, of course you do. But are there some exceptions? And I think there are some exceptions in that sense. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. What about, like, do you think that's still in the same vein if they come up? I'm just using as a tribe, for example, because, like, that's usually atheist's favorite thing is, like, oh, what about this tribe in Africa? Da, 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 all that. But anyway, but what if they are worshiping a God that they believe is Yahweh?
Well, see, this is where we can't get too far into it. And so, atheists say, and I always try and teach people how to handle atheists. There's different ways to do it. So they might say, well, what about the people who never hear the gospel? And say, well, we can make the case they go to hell. We can make the case that some of them at least go to heaven. And so if you don't like either one, who are you to decide? You're an atheist. You don't have any moral right to say what is or is not good or bad. You just don't have that. So, tribes. There are plenty of stories of tribes all over the world who have remnants of the gospel within their culture. And they appeal to those things within the remnants of the gospel. There's a book called Bruchko. And Bruce Olson went down to the Mololone tribe, I think it was in Colombia, years and years, decades ago, and there was a prophecy in this tribe. I mean, these were jungle tribe people. And there was a prophecy that a man with white hair, he had blonde hair, would come with the words of God written on banana leaves. Banana leaves are big and wide.
Oh, wow.
He had this book, the Bible, banana leaves. And they received the gospel. So, we just can't say it. Everything's black and white. There's always a little bit of variables. Hey, there's a break. You want to hold, or we've got more?
Yeah, I got to get my hair cut soon, but thanks so much, Matt. I appreciate okay. your
all right,
insight.
Buddy. Okay, God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these words, these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, and welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air here with Janet. Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a quick question and a quick follow-up question.
Okay, sure.
The scripture talks about the joy of the Lord being our strength. And I'm just,
yeah.
What is the joy of the Lord?
His presence, knowledge of him, his salvific work for us, through us, in others, that he will provide. We have confidence in him. The joy of the Lord, yeah.
Okay, so I think you might have answered my follow-up question, too. But the follow-up was just, how do we have that joy of the Lord when we're going through trials or tribulations and that kind of thing?
Well, we have joy of the Lord when we go through trials by keeping our eyes on Christ. So one of the things I will mention is my wife and I lost a son about 30 years ago, and it was pretty tough. You know, we knew he was going mm-hmm. to probably die after being born. He had a birth defect. And, you know, it was very sad, very traumatizing. But there was also joy during it because we could see and experience the presence of God in so many different ways. Now, why would God let this happen to begin with? I can't answer that. But I can say that there were little things that happened repeatedly that were just provisionary of God as he brought us through it. And we had joy because of that, even though it was very, very difficult at the same time. We just have to experience it to understand.
So you're saying in that experience you had joy, a sense of joy in the midst of what you were going through?
Well, not joy. Hey, look, it's all fun. Hey, you know, let's skip down the road.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't like that. It was... I remember that we were having a funeral set up, and we didn't have anybody to, we needed someone to preach the gospel. I'm not going to do it, at my own son's funeral. Well, I called a professor friend of mine 100 miles away. He said he'd be there. And then we didn't have music. And we didn't have music. And so a local church heard, and one thing after another, this guy shows up. And he was the worship leader at a church. We didn't have enough money for the gravestone. And this guy shows up dressed in work clothes. And he had to drive basically 100 miles for this, 120 miles. And he shows up in work clothes, and he hands us a check for $1,000. So we could, that's how much it cost for the funeral and the gravestone for our son. And so you know, it's just things like that over and over. And the provision of people, and the prayers of people, the love of people. We had, for example, we had our son had a, it's called holoprosencephaly, and it's very, 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 very rare. And so, oh no. Turns out a nurse at the church actually, in all seriousness, had experienced 5 years earlier with another woman in the church a birth defect with the exact same one from another child. And she had all the information. And she was a nurse at a hospital that my wife gave birth to. She was in the room with us.
And
you see, it, just little things. And of all, and this may sound odd, but you know, I used to work at a hospital and I used to do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, as an orderly, and I've even taken bodies to the morgue and transported you know, things like that. And and when our son died, it literally in our arms, I wanted to know if I could take him and put him, you know, in this hospital, put him in the morgue. You know, it may sound morbid, I don't know, but that's what I wanted to do. And they said, no, because you're not an employee here. But they said, but she can, the nurse can. And so we had, God provided even that for us. And there's more. Mm. There's more to it. So I'm just saying, when you through the tumult, through the difficulties, if you know how to listen, you can hear. If you know what to see, you can see. Mm. And if you look for him, you'll find him in these little things. The guitarist was beautiful. The message that was given, the $1,000 that came in, the nurse who knew all the stuff and knew how to prepare us. And when I had to go make funeral arrangements, this was so tough. She went with me. My wife had to stay because of some other stuff. So she met me there. And the people at the funeral parlor were just as patient as all get out, as I would break down crying about every other sentence. And, you know, it's just, I'm not saying look at me, but I'm just saying, you know, we all go through things of different levels of difficulty. What are you looking for? You know, what are we seeing? We see the death, we see the pain and the suffering, but it's never without God's provision somehow, some way. We've got to learn to see it, and so that we can trust him through those things even more. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that. I struggle with that scripture because, you know, I'm going through a couple of things and I couldn't find that joy. you know, that's my strength. And I'm like, I need to be strong. I'm trying to be strong. And I just wondered what that meant and how we can find it when we're going through something. So that helped. Yeah. What you said, what you shared really makes a difference. So I appreciate it very much. Yeah. Thanks for the encouragement.
Tough. Yeah. Are you going through some pretty tough stuff?
Well, it's kind of weird. It's like, I guess it's tough. Or maybe somebody else is not really all that tough, but I'm worried about things. Really, I'm kind of worried more about the future than I am about the present. So I'm worried about things that haven't happened, and I'm not even there yet, and I'm worried about that kind of stuff. And for example, one thing that God has done for me, and I've seen him do, is I worry about things that are in the near future, and they don't even happen. He delivers me from those situations at the nick of time. I'm like, it didn't even happen, but I worried so much that it felt like it happened. If that makes any sense.
Like, man, yes, it does.
I went through all the emotions of the fact that it happened, but it didn't happen.
So, hey, welcome. Hey, welcome to the club. Yep, that's right. Yeah, you're a sinner. Yep, that's right. Okay, I get that.
And
been there.
Oh, yeah. Time, you know, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. I'm thinking of those things. He's bringing those things to my mind. I can't figure out why, because I'm trying to get there in the midst of everything else that I'm going through. It's like I have no excuse to not rejoice, but I don't feel emotionally. I feel kind of like I'm down or something. But,
Try this. Try this. Here, I got a recommendation for you, okay? You don't feel it, so what? You don't feel it. So you may feel distant from God. You may feel like things aren't working out. You may feel this is bad, whatever it is. Then get on your knees and praise God. Just say, Lord, I'm just praising you anyway. You don't have to praise him for any particular reason other than you're worthy of praise. And even through this, though I don't understand, I don't feel like it. Lord, here I am. Hear the words of my mouth. Don't look at my heart, because my heart's desperately wicked. But I praise you nonetheless. And we have these opportunities like that to do that during these difficulties. And sometimes what people do, they complain. God, why this? Why that? Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. But like you said, it's the little things that are actually big things, you know? It's like, man, they make a big difference. So thank you so much. And I just need to hear the encouragement. And just, you know, I want to really bask in the joy of the Lord. I really want to. So I'm gonna work on that.
Well, sure. No problem.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, thank you
God
so
bless.
Much. And have a great rest of your day. Yeah, have a great day.
Okay, you too.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, hey, Keith, producer Keith, I got a note in there. I want to switch to Access 2 to see if we can test the sound. So give me a yes, we can do that, or no. I want to know. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages, please. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. And I am experimenting, trying to get something working here. We have to test live. So during the break, I'm working on trying to get this thing to, the video thing to work right. And I don't think it is still either there, maybe. I don't know. And there we go, test 1, 2. Nope, not working. Man, I do not know what's going on. And I'm a computer tech guy. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. All right. Let's get on the air with Jim from Raleigh, North Carolina. Jim, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment and then kind of ask the question as a result of it. When we were earlier talking about people who have never heard the gospel and what happens to them and our babies, et cetera. There's one particular scripture that for me, kind of, I always go to with that, and it's in it's Matthew 19:24-26, when Jesus was talking about how it's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then when the disciples were so astonished at this, well, who can be saved? And then Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's kind of like, to me, that's the common denominator of, he. Of course, God is so far advanced in brilliance and every other kind of thing, power, et cetera. He can do what he pleases. And I think that that verse to me gives me comfort about, you know, where the, where the babies go, or where, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
With God, all things are possible. Even though it's impossible with men, with God, all things are possible. I don't, I don't know.
That works.
You think about that. I don't want you to think about that, but to me, it's comforting.
Good. Okay. Well, good. Appreciate it. So, okay. You got a question, though? Or is that just a comment, which is fine?
Well, the question I would like, I was just going to see if I got your comment. For me, I think that God's going to handle all these things. I don't think that people are going to be thrown in hell, you know, because they never heard or things like that. I just wondered if you had that same opinion or what.
Well,
or am I interpreting the scripture right?
No, we can't just say that people, you don't hear the gospel, that means you're okay. We can't say that. There are pagans out there who have never heard the gospel, and they follow paganism, and they'll end up going to hell. We can't offer sympathy and say, we need to redefine how God saves in order to make it feel better for us. That, we don't want to do that.
Oh, no,
so
I'm
they
not
need to hear that gospel.
To make it, I agree with what you just said. I'm just saying that if that's the way God has said it, then that's okay. Then we don't need to worry about that so much. I think that God... he takes care of all that sort of thing. If they go to hell, they go to hell, whatever. But I just think that God is powerful, good, gracious, and all those kinds of things when you can't answer particular questions. That's just, I fall back on that.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. Okay,
yeah,
I have one other
sure.
concern. It worries me to death, and I don't know if I... This whole thing about the scriptures where it talks about... A nation divided against itself will not, you know, cannot stand. And there's a couple of different ones in Matthew and Luke and talks about this. It's you know, not good outcome. And I worry now that it seems to me like that our whole country has just become so radically divided that it really worries me to no end, you know, it used to be the left and the right, they could talk to each other, make rational decisions, and it just gets worse and worse.
Right. It is getting worse and worse, and the left, I like I said before, I believe the Democratic Party is a terrorist organization. They act like a terrorist organization in America. They've opened the borders and so it can be invaded. That's not what you do to protect a country. They promote homosexuality, gender confusion. They promote the killing of the unborn. They promote socialism. Confiscation of property. They weaponized the Department of Justice, the IRS, and the FBI in order to attack people who are conservatives. So it's what a terrorist organization would do in order to bring a country down. They're doing exactly what is necessary.
And yeah, but there's a big umbrella when you say they do this and they do that. I mean, you know, I know Democrats that are Christians, I believe, don't believe all that. So I think that...
But the Democratic Party itself, its history, is ungodly. And it was the party of pro-slavery, pro-Jim Crow laws, and Barbara Sanger was a Democrat who wanted to destroy life, particularly with the blacks. And she upheld all this. Oh, yeah, you don't understand. You know, we can't just sit as Christians and say, well, you know, there's differences of opinion in politics. No, we have righteousness we need to stand on. And the Republican Party isn't much better in a lot of areas. So
been trying,
we need to stand
that.
On righteousness. What's that?
The one?
We need to stand on
righteousness. No, I'm just saying that I'm a independent regarding politics and that... whether it be the Democrat or Republican Party, I think you got good and bad people on both sides, obviously. But I was watching this thing unfold on TV, so I decided I'm going to look and see what MSNBC has to say, and then switch it over and see what Fox has to say. And it was like two different planets, you know. I mean, they're so far divided that it doesn't make any... Mm-hmm. I'm not choosing sides or anything. I just say there's a lot of things going on that worry me about where the country's going with this division. The other sides don't talk to each other. Even if one side is right and the other side's wrong, you don't want to get in that position where the nation is so divided it's going to be destroyed. Does that make any sense?
Yes, and I agree. It's a humongous problem. It really is. But what are we going to do?
Well, I thank you for taking my call, and
sure.
I just wanted to bring that verse to you about obviously you know the whole Bible, I mean, but I just, that's the verse that I get comfort in when all things are with God, all things are possible.
That's right. Yeah, he can do
it.
All right. Okay, sounds good.
Thank
thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. God bless. Okay. All right, now let's get to Cole from Georgia. Cole, welcome. You're on the air.
Mr. Matt Slick, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, man. More hanging than in there right now. What do you got, buddy?
I hear you. I got a quick thing. I heard you talking to an earlier caller.
Yeah.
And this is just my viewpoint on it. The millennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I see it.
Okay.
I believe that babies that die before, you know, in the womb or before they have knowledge, or people in third world countries that never got a chance to learn about Christ.
Okay.
I believe that's what the actual millennial reign is for, to teach all of those people that never got a chance. That's just my take on it.
Okay.
It could be, because the 1,000 years, because who's going to be, who are we going to be teaching? Because it says it's going to teach them. And I believe it would be fair, you know, people with disabilities and all of this type of stuff. I believe during that 1,000 years, and Satan's being locked up and there'll be peace, I truly believe that's what it's about. And then they're going to be tested, because Satan's got to be let loose, and they're going to be testing those people. They got to prove, just like we're being tested now. They got to go through that. That's what I believe.
That's one of the theories. It's definitely one of the theories. Yep. So, but is it true that we're going to go through the millennium? Is it true that that's going to be the case? That's just another topic. But there are theories like that out there. Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it just makes sense to me. To me, you know, I ain't that smart, but it just makes sense to me. I ain't no biblical, and when I say that, I'm not a biblical scholar or anything like that. But it just makes more sense. It seems to be, to me, it would be more fair that way, because a lot of people never got a chance to learn about Jesus, to accept him, and I think the millennial reign will give them a fair chance. But then most of those people will turn. They won't even accept it. Just like now, most of them, when Satan's loose, they're still going to turn away, even though they were taught in 1,000 years and all that, and they're still going to turn against Christ. And then we're going to have the great war after that. It just makes sense to me.
Except I don't hold to a 1,000-year reign myself. I don't believe it's going to happen like that. And I don't have any problem with people who believe it. I don't believe it's going to be that way. And when we talk about fairness, we have to be careful that we don't want to say this is what God ought to do and how it ought to be fair. Particularly when you read Romans chapter 9, verses 9 through 23. And I went through that section of scripture last night in detail. And I had to work with a bunch of people going through it verse by verse. It took an hour, 45 minutes maybe, I guess, on that. And to show that God's choices don't depend on stuff like that, on us. It's tough theology, but it's what the scriptures are actually teaching. Okay? Yeah, there's more to
adults?
It.
What about adults that didn't get a chance to hear? There's been probably millions, if not billions, of adults that never got a chance to accept Christ.
Then they would go to hell.
No, okay. Matt, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. There'll be
hold on.
The millennial.
Hold on. Let's go after the break. Okay.
You gotta study.
After the break. Hold on. After the break.
That,
we got a break. We got a break. We have a break. So hold on. We'll talk after the break. All right. Hey, folks. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This will be interesting. Let's get back on with Cole. Cole, welcome. How are you doing?
Yes, sir, Mr. Matt Slick.
All right. So, people who don't hear the gospel, there's no guarantee they're going to heaven. They're just judged because they're by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. Okay.
That's unjust.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you, where do you get that it's not right? What authority do you have?
Because, okay, just like the thief on the cross. Mm-hmm. The thief on the cross, he did everything wrong up until that point.
Okay.
But when he was there in front of Christ, he stood up for it. He took a stand, and Christ said, come on in. God's going to give them a chance, man. If they never heard. And I believe that's what the millennial brain explains.
Well, hold on. Where does it say in the Bible God's going to give everyone an equal chance? It doesn't.
Okay, The thousand years.
Hold on. It doesn't say what you're saying. It doesn't say that. Let me read to you some scripture. All right? For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she received or conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose, according to his choice, would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. You with me so far? Did you hear that?
I hear that, yeah.
That's Romans 9:9-13. So God loved Jacob and hated Esau, not based on anything they would do, because of God's sovereignty. That's what it's teaching. Okay? Is that fair?
So you're saying it's predestined. I don't believe that.
Well, you have to believe it, because God says he predestines people.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Sure.
When has there been a time where there's been a thousand-year peace on this earth, where Satan was bound?
Okay.
When has that happened?
Hold on. You're jumping all around, okay? I'm trying to show you what the scriptures say, and then you said you're not predestined, and yes, they are. Look, Ephesians 1:4-5. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. It's what the Bible says. Now, do you accept that God chooses?
That.
You don't believe? Well, then you're not believing God's word. That's Ephesians 1:4-5.
That means he could have just made us angels, Matt. Think about it.
Okay.
He could have just made us angels.
Hold on. Cole, what does the scripture say? Are you submitting yourself to God's word? Are you? Want me to read it again? I'll read it again.
Yeah,
you tell
you
me
can,
if you accept.
You can anything say that. Say what? Well,
I'm
know.
Just reading it. Cole, just read it. Let me just read it. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as son through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. So, do you believe he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no. Because,
well,
you want me to explain why I say that real quick?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
He made Satan, right? He knew Satan would be evil, but he still made him.
That doesn't have anything to do with predestination of the elect here. Okay, so we're talking about what Ephesians 1:4-5 says. I'm just trying to get you to believe God's word. Okay.
Oh, I believe God's word.
Then you believe people are predestined. When
has there been a time where the kids could play with snakes and the lamb? When did all that happen, Matt? You can't explain that, Matt.
No, it's not. You're asking the wrong question. Okay, when it talks about stuff like that, it's talking about the kingdom, and it's talking about the truth that's coming. But let me run something by you. Okay, you up for a challenge? A polite challenge? Are you? Are you? Well, are you?
Listen.
You know, it says two men are in a field. One is taken, one is left. Is that the rapture?
Well, that don't necessarily have to be the rapture. It could be. It could be.
Well, good. I'm glad you said that. It's not.
Don't just now, blow it out, because it could be.
No, it's not. Because the context is it's the wicked who are taken. It's not the good. That's what it says. If you read Matthew 24, Luke 17, just read them parallel. You'll see that's what it is.
So where are the wicked taken? What happened to the wicked if they're taken? What happened to them?
They're taken to a place of destruction because they asked Jesus in Luke 17, the end of the chapter, where are they taken? He says, where the body is, the vultures gather. And he says the first ones taken when he comes back are not the good. They're the wicked.
So with the wicked being taken, then there's going to be peace if the wicked's taken.
Nope.
Think about it.
Says, no, the wicked are
you
taken
just
to destruction.
Taking all the wicked, so it's going to be nothing but good people here.
Hold on. They're taken when Jesus returns. That's on the last day at the end of the age. I've done a deep study on this. And also, it really messes things up. Because look, the premillennial view is this, that before the millennium, the rapture occurs, right? That's the view. And
yeah.
After the literal 1,000 years is when the new heavens and new earth are made, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a bit of a
problem.
I'm going to
tell you what I believe in. Hold on a second. Adrian Rogers.
I don't care about Adrian Rogers. He blows it.
Wait a minute.
But hold on. Let me explain something to you. It's my show, not yours. Hold on. I want to show you something from Scripture. I already showed you something from Scripture earlier, and you rejected it. Then I had to read it to you again and again. Then you say you believe it and kind of don't believe it. Now I'm going to do the same thing with the Scriptures on something else. Because the rapture happens before the 1,000 years, and the new heavens and new earth happen after the 1,000 years. That's the view, right? There's a problem, a big problem. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 16, it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. This is the rapture, right? The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain shall caught up together and meet him in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, as to the epics, times and epics, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourself know full well that the day of the Lord come like a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord come like a thief in the night, that's the rapture. Is that right? Right?
No. To me, the day of the Lord comes every day. When somebody dies, that's the thief of the night, the day of the Lord.
Okay.
When somebody dies,
no,
guess what?
No,
the next thing they're going to see is Christ.
Cole,
he
that's
comes
not
as
what
a thief
the scripture...
in the night every day, Matt.
Cole, that's not what it's saying. It says the context is the return of Christ and the rapture. That's what it says is a day of the Lord that comes like a thief in the night. You Cole, buddy, you got to do more study, man. You got to stick with the word. Because
yeah, but
that's
Matt,
what
you can't explain how the kid's going to lay down with the snakes and the lion's going to lay there and be buddies with the lamb. You can't explain that.
Yes, I can. The new heavens and new earth. Afterwards, it'll be harmony, complete. And plus, you got to remember that it says there that those babies, children, are going to be 100 years old. It's not literal. It's metaphoric. We know that babies and children don't last 100 years. Okay, it's metaphoric. But people do often just take things literally when it shouldn't be. I mean, it's just babies to 100 years old. Come on, okay. But look, I'm trying to show you something.
They did that back in Noah, the days of Noah. They lived to be 1,000.
Cole,
they lived
yes,
to be 1,000.
Yes, I know,
thousand.
But they weren't babies.
That, Matt.
They weren't babies for 100 years, okay? They, at
so
20 years old.
You're saying that Christ...
Cole,
so
Cole,
Christ is
Cole,
not gonna,
Cole,
gonna
I'm going to get ready to drop you.
Line.
Okay, I'm dropping him. He won't listen, and he's just reacting. And so I don't want to get upset with him, and I'm trying to have fun and talk to him, but he's just not hearing it. And it's just not a good thing. So we just need to move along. What I was going to do, folks, was just try and get him to see what the text says. And is the day of the Lord comes like a thief is not death every day that happens. That's not what it is in the context. The context is the return of Christ. The day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. That's what it is. He wouldn't even accept that. I mean, we can't go on much further if he's just going to deny that and continue to just interrupt and continue. So the reason I was bringing this up is for something to think about. Because it says this in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So they certainly seem to be the same day. The day of the Lord comes like a thief is when the heavens are melted, and when the rapture occurs. It seems to be that they are on the same day. And that's what I'm saying. That's all I want to see, just to see what he would say. But I guess not. Okay, we have a question. Good afternoon. How can I prove the bride of Christ is a church using the Bible? I believe it. Can't prove it. That's out of Revelation. And where does it say the bride? The light of the lamp will not shine. The voice of the bridegroom. Bride will not be heard. I'm trying to find it really quickly. Okay, I think it's in Revelation 19. Well, you want, starting at verse 7. So just start going from Revelation 19, 7 and start reading, and you'll find that. All right, let's go to the other question because we're almost out of time. Let's see. I don't remember Jesus saying that he was predestined before the world was. That he was? That Jesus was predestined? Can you quote Jesus where he said that? That he was predestined? It doesn't say he was predestined, that I'm aware of. As far as rapture, anyone who has received from God has some, has, everyone who has received from God has his same dispensation of mind, spirit, or taken out of the world already. That's, oh, wow. No, the rapture is the actual taking up to meet him in the clouds. It's out of 1 Thessalonians 4. And it's not a mental idea being taken out of the world. That's not what's going on there. We are of this world, but not of it. We're in God's kingdom. Where is his kingdom? His kingdom, what's another one? Because the Bible says kingdom not of this world, and yet he says the kingdom of God is among you. So it's really interesting. Luke 17, 20-21 doesn't come with observation. It's within you, or supposed to be. Yes, the kingdom of God is within you. And yet, Christ is the king, and we are in the world. So, is the kingdom of God here? See, Jesus is a king. Here's a question to ask. These are just thought-provoking questions. Is Jesus the king of this world right now? And a lot of people say, well, of course not. Look how bad it is. Okay? Is he the king of the Christians in the world? Well, yes. Is the kingdom of God in us? Because Christ is in us. Yes. Then is the kingdom of God in this world today? Yes. But it's not of this world. And yet, in Matthew 13, it says Jesus, the angels will come and take out of his kingdom the stumbling blocks. That's the wicked. That means it has to be here for that to happen. So you see, this is not just an easy thing to get into and just solve really quickly, because the phrases are used interchangeably in a different context and different ways. So, and there's the music. Now, you know, I like when people disagree. I do. But, you know, take turns talking. That's all. Take turns talking. All right. May the Lord bless you. And by his grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And hopefully we will talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.